you, Michelle. Let's open our Bibles this morning to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Last week we finished chapter 5 with a message on God's design for the home. And we looked at the roles of husbands and wives as God gives the design for the home. Today our focus will be on God's design for children and parents. You say, well, I don't have any more children in the home. I don't have to pay attention to this one anymore. And we sent the kids downstairs. So who's this message really for? I'm glad you asked. It's for all of us. Our world today is telling us a lot of ways to raise families. And I'm so glad that God in his book, the Bible, has given us clear instructions on how the homes are to operate. In Ephesians 6, 1-4, there are two fundamental commands that make it possible to bring up children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The first is a command to the children, verses 1 through 3. The second is directed toward the father, who is the head of the home, in verse 4. So God's instruction first to children, verses 1 to 3. I love the simplicity of these words. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. First of all, the command. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Even a child can understand those words. The questions who, what, and why are all answered in this short verse. To whom is the command given? Children. There are several words that could be used from the Greek language to describe this word that would be in place of this word children. Paul could have used the one that is brephos, that describes an infant, but he doesn't use that. He doesn't use the word paideia, which is would limit the child to one who is old enough to play, to talk, to walk. But he uses a broader word, techna, and it's a word found in 91 verses in the New Testament. So it's a very familiar word. It describes children of all ages. And so by using that word, he includes the infant, the toddler, the teenager, anyone who's still at home under the authority of mom and dad. Children need loving but firm discipline. In Proverbs, we have several verses about how to bring children up to love the Lord. Proverbs 22:15 is one that says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. I received similar correction as a young person. In fact, I remember times as a teenager when I needed correction, and it was administered. My parents read all the verses about punitive discipline in the Bible, and they followed the instructions that God gave them. And Proverbs 19, verse 18 says, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not his soul spare for his crying. At what age does this command to obey your children, obey your parents, end? Well, back in Ephesians 5, if you remember from last week, verse 31, we learned that in a new marriage, a new home, the man and the woman leave father and mother and cleave to each other. They begin a new family unit. And when you get married, your mom and dad don't call you up and say, I'm sure that you haven't learned anything new. Why don't you go in the bedroom and pick up your socks? They don't do that, do they? Your wife is the one who tells you to do that now. Parents don't enforce rules on their married children. But even though they don't you hear their voices in your head? You still honor your parents. You respect them throughout your life. And as a parent, when your child is married, isn't it nice to have them call once in a while and ask for advice? Not like the one man that I heard who called his father often and his dad would always say the same thing. How did you get this number? Now, it's encouraging to get a call from your young people who are now in their own families and say, here's what I'm facing. What do you think? What's your opinion? Do you have a scripture passage or something that will help me? It's an important connection that children and parents should always have. But the relationship has changed from one of obedience to one of honor. There's an appreciation for the values that were taught. What is the command? How is it worded? Obey your parents in the Lord. Obey is a word that literally means to hear under. It's hupakuo. This commandment to children is different than the one that we saw for the wives back in chapter 5, verse 22. The word for submit there, remember, was hupatasso, to arrange yourself under the authority of the home. Here, that was a voluntary placing of yourself under your husband's lead. Children are not given that choice to arrange themselves under their parents' authority. They are to listen under, not to arrange themselves under. They didn't have any choice to be born. They didn't choose who their parents would be. God was the one who placed each child in the home that he saw fit. And parents, if you think of it that way, are God-appointed. Children are to listen, to be obedient to their parents. Young person today, do you obey your parents? Do you listen to what they tell you to do? And then do you respond with obedience? When mom and dad tell you to do something, do you pretend not to hear, to hear under? Well, I'm not responsible because I just didn't hear you. Do you hear the words but then say, okay, I'll do it, but to yourself you add, when I feel like it? Or do you listen closely? Do you obey immediately? I love the children's song that we sing. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. And there are three characteristics of obedience in that song. Doing exactly what you're told. Doing it with the right attitude. Do it happily. Do it immediately. And children of the Heavenly Father show their same belief in him by the way that we obey. We do exactly what we're told. We do it immediately, and we do it with the right attitude. Are there any loopholes in this command, this obedience? Obey your parents in the Lord. Some would say, what if they're really not my parents? They might say, I'm adopted. Does that mean I don't have to obey them because they're not my biological parent? Some children will have parents that are not around. That doesn't mean if they're not here to follow up, I'm not responsible to do what they've asked me to do. I believe this verse is teaching you to be obedient to the one who's taking care of you as a parent, the one who's your legal guardian. What if your parents are not Christians? It says here, obey your parents in the Lord. So if they're not in the Lord, is it okay to disobey them? Well, that phrase in the Lord is not talking about your parents, it's talking about you. It means that you obey for the sake of your testimony in Christ. That act of obedience is something that is done in the Lord. You're to show obedience to Christ by showing obedience to your authority in the home. And why should you obey your parents? This is another question. Why? We just saw one of the reasons. In the Lord, you do it because your obedience is a testimony to others, your obedience to God. Another reason is given at the end of verse 1. It's stated very simply and clearly, for this is right. It's the right thing to do. It's just. It's righteous. It's the way it should be. And so you obey your parents because it is a reflection of your obedience to God and his command, and it's also something you do because it's the right thing to do. Brings us to a question that's often considered. Is it ever right to disobey someone who is an authority over you? I want to be very cautious about how we say this, how we word this, because it applies not only to children, but also to employers, employees, citizens of a country, wives. If you are asked by your authority to do something that's immoral or illegal or contrary to God's word, then you need to step up to your authority figure and explain why you should not do what they've asked you to do. You make an appeal by explaining why an obedience to them would be a disobedience to a higher authority. And as you do, be open to the fact that you may have misunderstood the command, what they told you to do. Then if you're sure that they've asked you to do something that's immoral, illegal, against God's command, then let them know that obedience to them would be clear and blatant contradiction to what God has told you. Here are some examples in the Bible of those who chose to obey God rather than men. The two Hebrew midwives. They refused to kill the baby boys. They disobeyed the king of Egypt because they recognized a higher authority. Life is more precious than obedience to a king. Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, we know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They refused to bow and worship the idol of Nebuchadnezzar. They disobeyed the king because there was a higher authority. The apostles in the New Testament were brought in, told they should not preach in the name of Jesus anymore, and they answered in Acts 5:29, we ought to obey God rather than men. Even Jesus, when he was called in to Pilate in John 19, Pilate said, don't you know that I have the power over you? I can crucify you. And in verse 11, Jesus told him, you have no power but what's given to you. So there is a higher authority. Now here's some guidelines if you decide to, that you recognize this is something that you should not do, of how you go about that. Make sure, first of all, that you have a clear biblical evidence that what you're doing or what you're being asked to do is against the scriptures. Second, appeal to your authority in a polite and honorable manner. You might say, I really want to live my life for the glory of God, and what you've asked me to do, I can't do that and glorify him. We often say, word it, it's against my convictions, what God wants me to do. Don't forget to get advice from other godly spiritual leaders, believers in your life. If your parents ask you to drink, to try drugs, say no. If they ask you to do something immoral, refuse. If they ask you to steal, say, I can't. And as you do that, knowing that what you're doing is what God has told you to do, then be ready to face the consequences of your choice, even if you're going to be punished, and even if that seems extreme. Daniel ignored the law that anyone who prayed to someone other than King Darius would be thrown into the den of lions. And in Daniel 6:10, it says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Keep doing what God has told you to do, even if the punishment will be brought. Let's notice in verse 2 the explanation of the command. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise. Here's another word added to your responsibility as a child. Not only are you to obey your parents, you're to honor them. The word honor is to value them, to hold them in esteem. Obedience is the activity. Honor is the attitude. Honor is something you can do even after you're out of the home. You're no longer in the home. Obedience is taught externally. Honor comes out of the heart and motives. So if you honor your parents, you will obey them. And parents are honored when they see that you want to do what would please them, whether you're told to or not, when the obedience is coming from a desire that you have to do that. There's to be a right attitude behind obedience. Don't think when you say, okay, I'll wear what you set out for me for church, that you're honoring your parents. You're saying the right words, but with the wrong attitude. And don't think that you're honoring your parents by just putting on a politeness that covers up the bad attitude. Okay, Mom, whatever you say, that's what I'll do. Sounds good, but under your breath you say, I really can't wait till I'm out of the house and I don't have to be up, put myself under these rules anymore. So there's a right attitude behind obedience. There's a reward for such honor. This is the first commandment with promise. In the Old Testament historical setting, Exodus 20, verse 12, says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." Then in Deuteronomy, listen carefully, there's one more benefit of being obedient. It says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." There, it's not only that your days will be prolonged, but also that things will go well with thee. Now, the Hebrew word for honor comes from a root word meaning something heavy. Honor is weighty. It's important. It's not something to be treated lightly or flippantly. The promise of the commandment is, it says, this is the first commandment with promise. If you think about obedience to parents, it's actually the fifth commandment, isn't it? But it's the first one in the list that has a promise with it. It will be well with you. That's quality of life. You'll be able to sit down and say, "I was pleasing to God because I honored my parents." Quality of life. Also, you'll dwell long on the earth. That's quantity of life. Now, we have to understand, this is a general rule that God gives to his people and to us. There may be some who have honored their parents, and you say the Lord took them home, and they were still young. But that's the general rule. The quality of life, the quantity of life will be rich if you honor your parents. I believe that promise is still for us. Young person, it's still right to obey your parents. It's still right to honor them. Now we come to God's instruction to the father, and we just see this in one verse, verse 4. And the father carries the responsibility to discipline the children because he is the head of the household. We talked about headship last week. Some say fathers should be the ones who should administer discipline and never the mother. I wouldn't know. I got it from both, and it was well-deserved. Okay. We have a negative command and then a positive admonition, and so you have it from both sides of the coin. Provoke not your children to wrath. That's the negative. Now you have to understand, in the Roman society, a father had power over his slaves and over his children. He could use any measure of punishment that he thought would work without much accountability. And in this kind of a setting, it's easy to find how a father could provoke his children to wrath. And the words provoke and wrath are the same word in the original language. It's para, which is alongside of, and orgidzo, which is wrath. So it means to drive a person to anger. The opposite of paragidzo, invoking them to wrath, would be parakaleo, to call someone to your side, to encourage them. And that's the parenting style that God wants us to use. Not inciting them to anger, making them bitter, but to call them alongside of you. Provoking to wrath means to build in the child such resentment that there would be hostility toward parental authority, and ultimately, as they get out of the home, toward God's authority. Now, parents can provoke their children with inconsistent discipline. One day the child comes in, he's done something, it was wrong, he knew it, he gets punished for it, and punishment is severe, or at least it fits the crime. And the next day he comes in, he's done something, the same thing, and his parents laugh or think it's funny. And you have to be careful about mom and dad being good cop, bad cop here. There has to be continuity. But that inconsistent discipline will be something that they just don't know. Is this right or is this wrong? Are you going to laugh or are you going to punish me? And so that's one way of provoking a child to wrath. Or perhaps you get punished and your sibling doesn't, who did the same thing. That often happened in our home. I was the only boy. There were three girls, and so I was always the underdog there. But discipline is when it's inconsistent, it can cause a child to be angry. Discipline that's given without love. Make sure you as a parent don't punish with when you're angry. Sit them down. Let them know why the punishment is deserved, why it's coming, how it hurts you. Practical application, I think. Well, let me just... One of the best ways that you can make sure that you don't provoke your children to anger is to let them know that you're doing exactly what God told you to do. You're being obedient to Scripture. And let them see you pray. Let them know that you're being obedient to God. He put you in my family. I want what's best for you. And when discipline is administered, they'll know that you want them to be obedient because you too are setting that pattern of obedience to God. You're doing what He told you to do. Okay, practical application. How can I do this? How can I live day to day without provoking my children to wrath, but bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? By the way, nurture and admonition, the nurture is that same word that we saw for a child, paideia. It is child training, correction, systematic discipline in the home. And then admonition is a word we get our word nouthetic counseling from, nouthetēo. It means to put in mind, to bring them to a place where they understand what the Bible says about what they're doing. So admonition, instruction, nurture, corrective discipline. And notice it's of the Lord. It's God's standard. So again, the best way to know whether you're making sure that they do that is let them know. Now, practical application. How can I do this on a daily basis? I think one of the major problems that we have in our society and culture today is parents don't know their children. Several years ago, I met with a mom and dad who had just discovered a box under their son's bed. It had several things in it. One was a gun. Drugs were there, and they were shocked. And when they came in, they say, "We just don't know him. We thought we did. But here's a side of him that we've never seen." There was one counselor who had a week-long conference with teens. He counseled, he had 42 counseling appointments with them. And the number one question that the teens asked was, "What can I do about my dad?" When he asked them to clarify the question, they would say things like, "He never has time for me, he never takes me anywhere, he never talks to me, he never does anything with me." So get to know your children. Don't let someone else raise them. Hebrews 13:17, it's written to those in authority in the church, but I believe it applies to the home as well. "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they might do it with joy and not with grief." That is, the person who is in authority is going to be grieving. There's this responsibility that they have. They watch for your souls. They're awake. They're alert. It includes prayer. The word watch is used only four times in the New Testament. It's mentioned with prayer once. Are you watching for the souls of those in your home? Are you warning them of dangers? There's a responsibility. There's an accountability. As I said, as they that must give account. Spiritual leaders, parents, Sunday school teachers, give an account for the lives of those under their authority. And that accounting can be joyful, and it can be grievous. And the goal is to do it without being grievous, without groaning. And when it's not with grief, notice it's profitable for you, for the one who is under the authority. So parents, as long as God has placed them in your charge, in your family, you have a responsibility to help them, to teach them, to train them, to live for Christ. And we need to take that responsibility seriously. Take basic steps to train them correctly. Use His Word. Have time with your kids where you open the Word of God and read them. Ask for His help. Let them see you saying, "Lord, I need your help in this decision that we're going to make as a family." And let your motivation be for His glory, not that someone will pat you on the back and say, "Boy, you've got some great kids. How'd you do that?" Susanna Wesley was the 25th child in her family. She had 19 of her own. She gave some rules for training children. First, subdue self-will in a child and thus work together with God to save his soul. Number two, teach him to pray as soon as he can speak. Three, give him nothing he cries for and only that which is good for him if he asks for it politely. Four, to prevent lying, punish no fault which is freely confessed, but never allow a rebellious, sinful act to go unnoticed. Five, command and reward good behavior. And six, strictly observe all promises you made to your child. There are several really helpful things for parents to be able to get a hold of to know how to bring their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And we need to know those things, and we need to have them so that we can pass them on to our children and then to their children as well. Parents, would you commit to bringing up your children in the way that God has instructed you? And with the help of God, will you get alone with him and seek his help in bringing up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Young person, would you commit to honoring your parents and obeying them? Maybe you haven't had the best attitude at home. Maybe there's areas of open rebellion, or maybe it's just an attitude in your own heart that isn't right. Don't just say, well, I think I'll work on that. I think I can change. You need to let your parents know that with God's help, you're going to obey them and honor them. Well, maybe you're here today and the Holy Spirit has impressed on your own heart how you haven't honored and obeyed your Heavenly Father. Make sure things are right today. Confess those actions, those attitudes. Tell him that right now you're submitting to him. And you may not know Christ as your Savior. I'd encourage you to come today as we sing an invitation hymn. We invite you to come to the front and settle that with the Lord today. Someone will take the Bible and show you how you can become his child. Let's bow for prayer. Father in heaven, I pray that you would take these thoughts, these words from your word today, and apply it in our hearts. Oh, it would be wonderful to have Christian homes represented by our church, that others would see that following the design that God has for the home is best, that you knew with the responsibility of parents and the responsiveness of children to be obedient. And so I pray that you'll have your way in our hearts today. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.